Welcome to Sunday Morning Worship.
Yeah, we're so glad you guys are here.
Thanks for hopping online with us. We are beyond excited for the chance to hang out and worship with you.
So go ahead, get comfy, invite your crew, hit the share button, and don't forget to throw your city in the chat. We rep in Dallas, but we want you to represent too.
Now we have a great service planned for you guys, so let's get to it. Enjoy service.
Enjoy.
Good morning to you online. We love you, family. We hope that you've got your crackers and juice ready for communion today. It's time for praise and worship. Get your family in the building with you, in the room, wherever you are. Stretch those arms, stretch, stomp those feet. Get ready for high worship with us, all right? Come on, it's time to praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, we got freedom in the building. Clap those hands unto God. Yeah. Jump, jump, jump. It's called Deep Places, and you've heard it before. And so now you can sing it with us because you know it. Hallelujah. Deep Places. We want God to take us deeper. We don't want to stay the same, right? But we have to know that in order to have freedom, you got to take action. There's something you got to do. Think about that thing. What can you do for your freedom? Come on, let's reclaim our freedom. Because the enemy wants to hold us down. He wants to keep us bound. But God wants to take you deeper, to deeper places in Him. Oh, Take us to deep, deep places. Man, that's a deep thing that we're asking for. That means that we can't stay in the shallow end. That means that it's going to require more obedience. That means that it's going to require you to step outside of the world and step into the holies of holies. Step in with God. Step in with God. Lean in with God. It's going to require you to go deeper. It's going to ask of you to get rid of that sin. It's going to ask of you to lay down that thing that so easily besets you, that thing that's holding you bound. Remember we talked about bondage before? That thing wants to keep you bound. But in the name of Jesus, I speak freedom over you. Freedom in Jesus' name. I speak freedom over me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you can clap. Clap because you're free. Clap because you've accepted a new me, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated, but take this with you. Take this with you. Hallelujah.
Hello, Next Gen family, and thank you for joining us today for our Next Gen Youth Service.
Can y'all believe we're already in July? Wow, who's ready for school to start back?
Well, a new month means a new theme, but since our faith series has been going so good, we're gonna continue this month talking about faith. Grab your pen and paper and get ready for a good message. Don't forget to write down your monthly memory verse, Ephesians 2:8. God's grace has saved you because of your faith in Christ. Your salvation doesn't come from anything you do. It's a gift from God.
We hope you all are ready for what God is going to do in and through you this month.
It's time for the real in Next Gen. Next Gen Wednesday Night Lives. Are y'all coming out? Our Wednesday Night Lives are different each week, and Summer Wednesday Night Lives will be full of surprises, so you don't want to miss out.
If you have not been coming, this is your sign to come out. Enjoy midweek service with your peers and have fun growing in your faith.
The model call for In the Paint is closed, but thank you to everyone who tried out for In the Paint.
If you have not heard, In the Paint is going down this year, so mark your calendars right now.
September 9th, 3 to 7 p.m. Invite your whole squad and meet us there.
Are you interested in being a Next Gen youth leader? If so, you do not want to miss out on the opportunity to join our Fuse leadership team.
Please see Mr. Isaac to find out more about this growing team. Calling all young men ages 6 to 12th grade, signups for the Real Men Mentorship begins in July.
If you want to grow your relationship with God, grow your understanding of biblical manhood, and have fun while doing it, then Real Men is for you.
Signups end July 31st. See Mr. Ryan for more details. Let's remember to put our phones, earbuds, and other distractions away during our service time. And please remove all hoodies. We want to see your face.
Let's give God the respect and honor he deserves. If you need a Bible, please see a kingdom servant.
Okay, Next Gen family, that's the real in Next Gen. Enjoy service.
Bye.
So Fuse, if you're on the Fuse team, there are two things you need to get from Mr. Isaac, a Fuse packet and your summer reading book. If you want to be a Fuse team, you also need to get a Fuse packet from Mr. Isaac. And for In the Paint, selected models, you have rehearsal after service today for 30 minutes upstairs in the youth chapel. This is mandatory. Also, if you are looking, we are also looking for student leaders for In the Paint. So if you are interested, please let Mr. Isaac or Mr. Saran know. Thank you. I hope you guys enjoy the service today.
How's Next Gen doing this morning? Hey, we need to give the Lord thanks. There's no sun outside. It's overcast and it's a warm 90 degrees. All right, we're going to move forward in our service offering. We talk about this. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 8. Say, who sows sparingly, reap what? Sparingly. Who sows bountifully, reaps what? Bountifully. All right. And the next verse said that the Lord wants us to give with a pure heart. Not grudgingly, not under compulsion. Right, so we should never feel that we're compelled to give. And the last verse says he's able to make all grace abound, having all efficiency, having everything that we need. So one thing we need to walk away with, we have to always establish Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord and everything that's in it. So we're just merely stewards of what the Lord give us, right? So just that alone should give us a heart to give, all right? And giving helps, right? Giving is not, it helps the ministry. All the free food y'all get, all the trips, KA, all the camps, is to advance God's kingdom, right? So we give to advance God's kingdom's impact ministries. So it's a purpose, it's beneficial, right? So we all need to have, we talk about it every week. What always have to be different is what do we do differently when we understand God's word to give. Amen?
Everyone, bow your heads and open your hearts for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord, for bringing us here, for giving us common grace, the ability to come here and worship you, Lord, to learn more about our purpose in you, Lord, to bring more followers to you, to praise you, so that we can all get to the end goal of heaven, Lord, and help us stay faithful in our lives so that we can be good stewards and ambassadors of this world that you have left us to manage, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's Fuse leading the way.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your son, Jesus. May you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, and hands and feet to practice the truth that we are taught. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. In football, the crowd can get very loud, screaming chant after chant, and their goal is to distract the visiting team. You will often see the quarterback, when it's getting real loud, I remember going to Texas Tech and just screaming, oh, to distract. And you will often see the visiting team, the quarterback, cover their ears. And the reason they're covering their ears is so that they can listen closely and focus on the voice of their coach that's up there in the box office, who's trying to communicate with them so that the quarterback can communicate with the team so that they can run the play and win the game. But the goal of the crowd is to disrupt that communication between the quarterback and his team and his coach, and to just throw everybody all off so that they can win the game. In this life, for all of us who are Christians, we are the visiting team. And this world, this culture is screaming, oh, but they're not just screaming nothing. They're screaming lie after lie after lie. Chants full of lies. And the question is, where do these lies come from? Because as Dr. Evans says, if all you see is what you see, then you do not see all there is to be seen. So that what you see going on in the culture is not just in the culture, but there's something behind the culture that's driving what you see. Where do these lies come from? Well, they come from the devil, the father of lies. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, which means not everybody is God's children. Even some here today. It's possible for you to be a church girl or a church boy and attend church, claim Jesus, and yet be at the same time a child of the devil. He tells a group of Jews, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. So if you come to Next Gen Youth and you just can't stand the truth that we're teaching, then perhaps the truth is not in you and you are a child of the devil. Whenever he speaks, the devil, he speaks the lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so all these lies that the culture screams, that the world screams to distract us from hearing and receiving the truth, comes from Satan. It was the devil in Genesis chapter 3 who deceived Eve. He's the great con artist who tries to trick. He's the master of trickery and deception. The father of lies. And he tricked Eve into believing that she will not surely die. God says you will surely die. The devil says you will surely not die. So whatever word, whatever thought, whatever idea, whatever perspective, whatever feelings that contradict the word of God is not from God, it's from Satan. Any idea, any agenda that contradicts the word of God is not from God, it's sourced in Satan, the father of lies, who is perpetuating and pushing and promoting through various artists, through various communities and different people in media and TV, lies about humanity. I was taught the lie that I was evolved from an animal. It's called the theory of evolution. Taught lies about what it means to be a man. Lies about what it means to be a woman. So today and next week, we want to talk about the truth about humanity, the truth about what it means to be a man, the truth about what it means to be a woman. As God defines humanity, since God owns humanity, he's the one who gets to define. He's the creator. And so we want to get to the truth. And the question is, whose word will you believe? Will you believe the words of the culture and the world and what they say about humanity, about manhood, about womanhood, or will you believe God's word that is written for us in the scriptures? Let's move on. Dr. Sarita Lyon says this, Satan wants to destroy what God has created. The LGBTQ plus movement has systematically fought for legal rights and privileges. But ultimately, this is a spiritual battle against our enemy, the devil, who wants to influence the culture and pervert, undermine, and dismantle God's gifts of gender, sex, and marriage. So this is not just a battle against the culture. It's not just a battle against the world. It's not just a battle against Beyonce. It's a battle against the spirit that is driving her to share and promote the things that she shares and promotes, and many others who do not drive you to Jesus, but drive you away from Jesus. So, as we've been talking about faith and sexuality, the main idea is that you and I would trust God with our sex, that is our gender, and our sexuality, because he created us, and he is good, he is just, he is loving, And so we ought to trust him with all of our lives. That's what it means to give your life to Christ. To give all of your life to Jesus. Let's talk about the truth about humanity. And this will be in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. First, humanity was created to reflect. It says in Genesis 1, 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Very interesting, because Satan comes and says, you will be like God. But they were already made to be like God. He says, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Humanity was created to reflect its creator. So just as God is holy, we are to reflect his holiness. We are to be different from the world, distinct from the world, fully devoted to Jesus. That is a true human, and anything outside of that is dehumanizing. We ought to reflect his goodness, his justice, and his love. What are some other characteristics that we ought to reflect? High school, just shout it out. What else about God that we should reflect? God is jealous. We're not allowed to be jealous. And so there's a difference between God being jealous and us being jealous. See, when we're jealous for things we don't really own, but God is jealous for things that he owns. So he is rightfully jealous, whereas when we're jealous, we're wrongfully jealous. So putting that aside, what are some other characteristics of God? What is God like? He's peaceful. He's forgiving. He's patient. He's kind. He's loving. And so we ought to be that down here, reflecting his character on earth. We ought to reflect God and not, who is he called? Young Gunner. We ought to reflect our maker, not Meg Thee Stallion. Meg Thee Stallion is not the standard, God is. And it's very important that we talk about the role models of the culture, because whoever your role model is, whoever you look up to, whoever you listen to the most, that voice, that's who you are going to become like. But you were not created to reflect the culture. You were created and redeemed to reflect Jesus Christ. Humanity was created to first reflect. Next, humanity was created to rule. I read in Genesis 1:26, the second part, it says, and let them rule. In other words, let them be king and queen. A king is a man who rules. A queen is a woman who rules. It's like Lion King. Raise your hand if you've seen Lion King. I'm pretty sure everyone has seen Lion King. Mufasa is the one who showed young Simba this kingdom that he was going to rule over, that he was going to exercise dominion over. And that's what God did with humanity. He created the kingdom of the earth, and he put the man and the woman there to rule over this kingdom. But unfortunately, because of our rebellion and rejection of God, you don't see the earth being ruled by humanity. It's being ruled by the devil, by sin, by death, by destruction. And so the purpose of Jesus is to come and restore us to that status of ruling. Let me go to Hebrews chapter 2. If you have your Bible, go there with me to Hebrews 2 in the New Testament. There are some things that I want to make sure that I expose you to. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews is about the superiority of Jesus. Jesus is better than every. He's better than the law. He's better than Moses. He's better than Joshua. He's better than the priesthood. He brings a better covenant. He's better than the angels. And it starts with Hebrews chapter 1 because he is God. Hebrews 1 talks about the deity of Christ. Hebrews 2 talks about the humanity of Christ. And it says this in verse 5. For he did not, God did not subject to angels the world to come. He didn't give the earth to the angels. He gave it to humanity to rule over. Concerning which we are speaking, verse 6. But one has testified somewhere saying. See, the Bible was not originally written in verses and chapters. And so, when you see the New Testament quote the Old Testament, you won't see them quoting a verse in a chapter. They'll just quote the word. And here in Hebrews, he's just saying somewhere in the Bible it says this. But one has testified somewhere saying, and this is Psalm 8, what is man that you remember him? Or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with honor and glory. There goes that ruling, that kingship, that queenship of ruling, and have appointed him, here it is again, over the work of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not see all things subject to him. That is, we don't see humanity ruling the earth. We don't see man and woman ruling. We see the devil ruling. We see sin ruling. We see injustice ruling. We see chaos and disaster and death ruling. Verse 9 says, but we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, talking about Jesus. Namely, Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he may taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory and daughters to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through faith. And so the purpose of Jesus, which is manifold, it's multicolored, but one was to restore us to the original purpose that God created us for, and that's to rule. So then when you get to the end of the story of the Bible, okay, I'm doing a little teaching, so hang on with me, hang in there with me. When you get to the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22, what do we find humanity doing in the new heavens and new earth? Revelation chapter 22, all the way towards the end of the Bible, in verse 3. It says, there will no longer be any curse. Curse came because of sin. And Jesus came to remove the curse from the earth. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb, that is Jesus, will be in it. And his bondservants, that's us, will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. The goal is to rule, to exercise dominion and authority. And Jesus came to lead a new humanity, a true human person. A true human is one who is submitted to God. But unfortunately, sin disrupted that. But humanity was created to reflect. Humanity was created to rule. And thirdly, humanity created to replicate. High school, how do humans replicate? Sex, okay? Sex is a good thing. It's created by God. So we as the church should not be ashamed to talk about what God created. So let's all say it together. Sex on three. Since we so shy to say this word. Sex on three. Okay? Because the problem is you hear more about sex from pornography, from Meg Thee Stallion, from Beyonce, and from the world and the culture, and the church is not doing its job, but we're going to fix that here. So let's say it. One, two, three. Sex. Messed it up. Okay, let's try it again. One, two, three. two, three, sex. It's a good thing. It's a God thing. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them, man and woman, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That is, have sex and procreate. And so that is the first and primary reason for marriage and sex. It is to procreate. And the obvious has to be said is because we're living in a culture that thinks marriage is just about you fulfilling your own desires, and we're just so anti-children. But marriage is the only institution created for children. And this is why every agenda that comes up is trying to destroy and tear down the nuclear family, that man and woman, mother and father. Sex was created to procreate. Sex was created also for pleasure between one man and one woman in a covenant relationship. And when we do outside of that, it brings destruction. It brings chaos and calamity. He created also for protection, according to 1 Corinthians 7, and he created it for comfort. We may talk about that more in depth later. And we'll need to discuss pornography and how that plays a role in how we think about sex and we think about men and women and how we look at people. It all changes your view of what God created, and everything that God created was good. God created humanity to what? Reflect. Let's say it. One, two, three. Reflect. He also created humanity to rule. Let's say it. One, two, three. Rule. He also created humanity to replicate. Let's say it. One, two, three. Replicate. And lastly, he created humanity to be male and female. I don't want to spend too much time discussing this, as we talked about it last time we discussed this, but I do want to give you some information that I believe is important so that we can have intelligent conversations amongst other believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, and also those who may be struggling with their identity, those who are not Christians, so that we can have fruitful conversations and discussions with people and hopefully have opportunities to share the gospel, because that's the solution to all this. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sex and gender were interchangeable until about the 20th century. Okay, it's important to recognize that for almost all throughout history, sex informed your gender. So if you were biologically male, that meant for almost all of history that you were a man. And if you were biologically a woman, with, as Dr. Evans says, the equipment, a womb, there may be something wrong with that, but you still have a womb. You are biologically a female, that means you are a woman. But it wasn't until recently where people used those terms very differently. So you will hear in conversations people refer to gender identity. Someone tell me what gender identity is.
The preference.
Okay, explain that. Say it. It's the gender you identify with, okay? It's a person's inner sense of their gender. And so someone can be born female, and this could be someone in here, and they are identifying themselves as a man, although they are biologically female. There is also gender dysphoria. Does anybody know what that means? Right. Okay, Imani said it right. Okay, it's a feeling of discomfort. Okay, Now, we haven't had this conversation, but we want to talk about these issues that's going on in the world and apply God's perspective to them, okay? Gender dysphoria is a feeling of discomfort with one's own sex. So someone who is born male feels uncomfortable with their biology, and so they may identify themselves as woman, okay? It's an uncomfortable they do not feel like they are a woman or male, and vice versa. Transgenderism. What is transgenderism? Right, where you identify with the gender that was not assigned to you at birth. So someone is born a female, and they go through transitions, where they may have sexual reassignment, so that they can be what they perceive as a woman. That's transgenderism, a person whose gender identity does not match their biological sex. There's also agender or genderless. What is that? Should be very easy. They don't think they're anything.
Non-binary.
No gender at all. That's what agender and genderless means. There's also, and I hope I say this right, androgynous. Okay, they are partly male and female in physical appearance. Okay. There is also intersex. Does anybody know what intersex means? So, yes. So they may have the external physical characteristics of a male, but they have the internal physical characteristics of a woman. It's people who have a variation in their sexual anatomy that is not binary. Then there's also non-binary. What is that?
No gender.
Said it loud. Non-binary is gender identities not conforming to male or female. And so I think it's on one platform where you can choose between over 70 genders. Shh. Settle down. I can tell we're not used to having this kind of conversation. So you have all these different terms, and the reason why I wanted to share that is for those who don't know and for a reminder for those who do know, so that we can have conversations and think about, what does God say about this? What is legitimate and illegitimate? What is the lie? What is the truth? The difference between sex and gender that has been created today seems to be illegitimate, because when God created sex, he created sex to inform gender. Gender identity seems to be illegitimate because your perception is not reality. Gender dysphoria may be legitimate. As a result of the fall, there might be a discomfort we all have. This is not to minimize this specific area, but we all have feelings, thoughts, desires that we are in conflict within our own self that we have to say no to. Even for those who are heterosexual, they have to say no to themselves. Although they might be desiring to be with multiple women, they have to say no. They have desires that they have to deny. So transgenderism is also illegitimate. And it says to God that you were wrong. Our gender is also illegitimate. Androgynous, illegitimate. Intersex is a reality. So that might be a legitimate condition that is different from these other ones that we handle differently. Non-binary is illegitimate because God created humanity to be male and female. And so that's the truth about humanity. Let's talk about the truth about man. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. We already know humanity was created to reflect. We know humanity was created to rule, and so it follows that the man was created to reflect God and to rule. God should be your role model. Jesus should be your role model. He was a true man of God. Genesis 2:15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." The word cultivate is, it means to work. It's the Hebrew word avad or eved. That's the noun form, and it always refers to Moses as the servant of the Lord, or Joshua as the servant of the Lord. Jesus is referred to as the servant of the Lord. So one of the primary tasks of a man is to work and serve. To work and serve at home, to work and serve at their schools, to work and serve at church, to work and serve in their communities. God created Adam to avad, to serve, to work, but we do not see that, especially in the church. It's unfortunately that the majority of creative arts ministry are young women. It's unfortunate that the majority of few students are young women. It's unfortunate that the majority of our volunteers and the majority of the people who come to church and who serve and who work to advance God's kingdom is women. But God created the man to avad, to serve. And so why is it that we are seeing fewer young men serve in the church? Why is it that on a Wednesday night when we're having hot topics discussion, we only get about two or three young men to speak up? Because young men have abandoned their roles. God created us to work, to serve. And young women who are looking for a male partner, you want to find somebody who's willing to serve. Jacob was willing to serve his father-in-law for 7 long years in order to marry his wife. So if he can't text you back in 7 minutes, if he can't text you back, you can clap, ladies. If he can't text you back in 7 minutes, drop him. God created the man to work, to serve, to cultivate the garden. Not to be lazy, not to sit back as Satan wreaks havoc. The reason why Satan is wreaking so much havoc is because there's not enough males who have become men. They're still in boyhood and have not transitioned and elevated and promoted to being a man who works and serves at home, at church, in the community. You are a servant. So for all the men in here and for the women, when you think about marriage, for those who desire to get married, everybody's not does not have the desire to be married, and so you may have the gift of singleness, and this doesn't apply to you necessarily. So if those, for those who want to get married, when you think of marriage, think of service. Amen. Think of serving your wife. And if you're not willing to serve your wife, then don't talk to her. Don't get married. If you're not willing to serve, if you're not willing to do the dishes, I'll be getting on myself. I'm like, I gotta clean the bathroom. I haven't cleaned the bathroom. I try to make sure that I do laundry. I try to make sure I do dishes. And it's not about me, but the point is that we are to serve our women and our children. Not just the women that we marry, but women in general. We were created to serve, to work, to avad. Secondly, we were created to watch. He says, he put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Shomer in Hebrew. It means to watch, to guard, to protect. He created the man to be, so to speak, the policeman in the garden. And the reason why that sexual abuse has escalated, the reason why it's not safe for women to walk around in this world, is because men have abandoned their roles. To watch, to protect, to serve, to guard, to police. That's what you were created for, young men. So if she can't feel safe with you, that's a problem. All these issues, rape, child molestation, because men, males have failed to be men, as God defines a man, one who is on watch, one who is on guard. We have Hot Topics nights. We ought to have more young men discussing these issues. Not sitting back and being quiet as Satan wreaks havoc on this culture. Will the real men speak up and reject passivity? Wasn't all Eve's fault? This is why God said, Adam, where are you? I left you there to watch, to guard, to protect. But he was quiet while Satan was deceiving his woman. We got to speak up, young men. This does not exclude women from speaking up, but we have to do our job. We were created both to rule. And neither one can abandon their roles. Men and women have to be who God called them to be for this thing to work. But thank God for Jesus, who's going to restore this. You were created to watch. You were created to work, like Spider-Man watches over the city of New York, like the Guardians of the Galaxy. That's how God created mankind, to guard, to watch over the city, over the land, over the garden, over your home, over the church. You were created to work and to watch. I want to share this quote as we come to a close. John Piper says this: at the heart of mature masculinity is a sense of benevolent responsibility to lead, provide for, and protect women, not persecute them, but protect women in ways appropriate to a man's differing relationships. The man was created to reflect, to rule, to work, and to watch. In closing, I want to encourage you with the words that Paul shared to his young mentee, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And he gives him three illustrations that I want to give to all of our young men. And we'll talk about what it means to be a woman next week. Second Timothy 2, 1 through 6 says, you therefore, my son, in the faith, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service, there's that word again, service, entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlists him as a soldier. Here's the second illustration. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, watch this. He does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Verse 6, this is the third illustration. The hardworking, there it is, working, serving. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Too many young men are MIA, missing in action, missing and unable to be confirmed. Let's change that. Today, from this day forward, commit, every young man in here, commit to being one who reflects the character of God and not the character of your favorite hip-hop artist, but of God, of Jesus Christ. That's why you were saved. You weren't just saved so that you can sit. You were saved for good works. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man boast. For we are his workmanship, created for Christ Jesus for good works. It's the purpose of the scriptures in 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for reproof, for teaching, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God and woman of God will be adequately equipped for every good work. You were saved to get busy, not to sit and come to church and claim to be a Christian and not actually be that in the culture. A soldier who does not get distracted but seeks to please Jesus, the captain, that's a real young man. And that ought to be the type of young man you pursue, young women, is one who is pursuing Jesus, one who is submitted to Jesus. If he ain't submitted to Jesus, you can skip and go to the next. A soldier who does not get distracted, and this world is trying to distract all of us, men and women, but especially us young men. Pornography is trying to distract you from being the young man that God called you to be. Don't let it distract you anymore. Put your guard up. Guard your ears like Daryl Jones told us. Get into the word of God so that you can hear the voice of God, your coach up there, and run the play that he has created. A soldier does not get distracted. He doesn't get entangled in that other childish and boyish stuff, playing at school and being immature, laughing and talking, being disrespectful to adults. That's not a young man. That's a coward. A soldier does not get distracted but seeks to please Jesus, the captain. An athlete. We all want to be athletes. We want to all put a ball in our hands, but we need to get the Bible in our hands so that we can live according to his truth. That's a real young man. It's someone who seeks to live according to the truth. No, you're not perfect, but you're trying because you love Jesus, and so you want to please him. And you trust him as your coach. That's a real young man. One who avods. Serves. He told the disciples that if you want to be great, you ought to serve. You want to be a great young man? Get busy. Start serving. Join Fuse. Join the Creative Arts Ministry. Serve at home. Serve your mom. Especially if you only got one parent. That is an unfortunate circumstance that you can't change. And I hate that for you. But your circumstances do not have to determine who you are and what you will be. Your creator and your redeemer does. And so you make a change and you start serving your mom and whoever's your parent or guardian. He says, a hardworking farmer. It's time to get busy, young men, and work and serve. A farmer who is a hardworking and serving at his home, in the church, and in the communities. I'm out of time. The world is screaming at us. and trying to distract us. And the question is, are you going to cover your ears so that you can hear the voice of your coach, our God, and be the man that God has called you to be? There's purpose, there's significance, there's greatness awaiting for you, but you've got to commit. You've got to say yes to Jesus, and that means saying no to yourself. For if any man wants to be a follower of Jesus, he must deny himself, take up his cross. This isn't a pretty gospel. It's easy and yet hard. It's hard and yet easy, because you got to say no, and sometimes you don't want to tell yourself no. But if any man is going to follow Jesus Christ, he must take up his cross, deny himself, and submit to Jesus. And so with every head bow, the first step in becoming a real man is submitting your life to Jesus Christ. That is believing that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and God raised him from the dead. If you have never before given your life to Jesus and you want to do that for the first time, I'm speaking to everyone, but especially to that young man. Trust me, there's ultimate joy in Jesus. There's no greater joy. Porn can't do it for you. Women can't do it for you. You need Jesus. That's what you need to be the man that God calls you to be. Doesn't matter your circumstance, you can become the man. You can become all that God wants you to be. But it first starts with submitting to him and believing in him and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. And if that's you today and you want to do that, you want to be who God created you to be, you want to reflect Christ, you want to rule like Christ, you want to be a part of this glorious kingdom that's coming in the future where we're going to reign forever and ever, and there'll be no more crying, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more pain. We'll be kings and queens forever, just as God created us to be.
Man, that was some good word right there. I know I'm ready to put it into action in my life, and I want to encourage you to do the same. There are so many gems in that message, so take what stood out to you, and let's see how we can apply it to your life this week. Let me pray for you before we go. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us, and I pray that we put this passage in our hearts and pursue it this week. Amen. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Make sure you log in next week, 11 a.m. Central, and I can't wait to see you next time. Till then, have a great week. God bless. Bye.